First reading, Psalm is Psalm 65. It's for the director of music. It's a Psalm of David, so it's a song. Praise awaits you, O God in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. O you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness, O God, our Saviour, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who form the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. Those living far away fear your wonders. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with corn, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the desert overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with corn. They shout for joy and sing. This is the word of the Lord.
Second reading, Luke 8. Verses 22 to 25, this is from the New International Version. Jesus calms the storm. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into the boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went up and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning and hello. It's lovely to be here with you this morning. Seriously, how appropriate is that gospel reading for this weekend? I mean, you couldn't have planned it better, could you? So isn't it good that God's in control of these things? I don't know about you, but on Friday, I certainly just stayed inside and I watched the storm and the winds through the window. But to be out in such a storm is to really feel the unbridled power of nature and our powerlessness in the face of it. The disciples that day had set sail across the Sea of Galilee. Now, despite the name, it's not actually a sea, it's a lake, but it's a very, very, very big lake. 13 miles long, 8 miles wide, and its maximum depth is 48 metres. So, you know, it has the feel of a sea. It's situated deep in the Jordan Great Rift Valley. And it's actually quite renowned for these sudden storms because it's quickly transformed. Winds tunnel through the east-west aligned Galilee hill country and stir up the waves quickly. So to this image, add a small wooden sailing boat. Now, my husband and I sail, and it has to be said that, you know, wind on land might be quite scary, but high winds at sea, you really do know your tininess in the immensity of the waves and wind around you. They would too, would have had a sail, oars for when the winds dropped. And for fishermen then and since, theirs is a really dangerous job. It's a reality they would have lived with. And so the disciples set sail that day, and they soon fell into the familiar rhythm of the day. Much as we get on with life, don't we? We get up, we do what we normally do, until something that forces us from our usual routines. And so it was on this day, far out from land, a sudden storm blows up. And at first the fishermen are busy hauling in the sail and trying to keep the boat afloat. Then the fear builds, that creeping sense of panic that this might indeed be their last storm, that the boat will be deluged by the waves. And then they cry out to Jesus. When all else fails, when there's nothing left to hold on to, oh God, help me. The prayer of desperation that so many have cried. But when we cry out that prayer, do we believe in that moment God will do something? Or is it just because there's nowhere else to go, and so we cry anyway? Jesus, woken from his sleep, calls to the waves. It says he rebuked the waves in Luke's. In Mark's gospel account, he uses the words, be still. I rather like that. Be still. And indeed, they were. The wind ceased. There was dead calm. And then he spoke to the disciples and said, why are you afraid? Have you no faith? Now, seriously, do you not have sympathy for them? Come on. You'd have been afraid too. Jesus said, why were you afraid? Have you no faith? They were overwhelmed at what he'd done. It actually uses the word fear in them, recognize it, even after it had gone calm. Who is this man? Even the winds and the waves obey him. So they were overwhelmed at what he'd done and filled with awe. But had they really believed in that moment in their call to him that he could do anything? Why are you afraid, says Jesus? Now, for most of us in the 21st century, in the main, our lives tend to be quite predictable and even uneventful. Of course, you know, individually, things happen. But life was fairly predictable, wasn't it? Till 2 years ago. What on earth happened then? Seriously, we'd been lulled, I think, into a sense of false security, that life was secure. I mean, even in March 2020, we really didn't believe it was going to happen here, like it had done in China or Italy, not here. Our lives were going to carry on the way they always had. It was false security. And the danger is when we are living in that sense of false security, we start to believe that we have complete control over our lives. Well, we try to keep healthy, we look after our children, we have insurance, we've got it sorted, nothing can touch us. March 2020, that illusion was shattered. The pandemic has, above all, reminded us that nothing about life can ever be taken for granted. In reality, of course, it never could. Things happen to us individually, and that sense of control was false. But over the last 2 years, more than ever before, we face sickness, loss of loved ones, mental health worries, jobs insecurity, financial insecurity, and perhaps above all, our own vulnerability. But even beyond that, I don't think anybody has come through this time unscathed. It's affected us in different ways, and in some ways the same way. We're not the same as we were. We've been through a storm. And we would like to think that God will somehow protect us from whatever might happen, to stop the bad things of life happening, to prevent a pandemic ever happening in the world. But he doesn't, it happened. Or at least it doesn't always. We have all known bad things happen to good people, as Tim shared with us earlier, people with a deep and lasting faith. If God doesn't stop the bad things happening, then what's the use of calling out to him? Why call out at all for his help if he just ignores us? But be very clear, he doesn't ignore us. He never ignores us. Any more than we would ignore a plea for help from our own children, would we? And although we know that miracles happen, they do. People are healed. Situations do incredibly work out in a way that we never expected. It doesn't always happen. People die. Even some of the most saintly, fantastic people die. Others lose their jobs, suffer severe long-term illness. And we're often left crying out, God, why? When we're in the middle of what seems like a nightmare, when the waves threaten to overwhelm us, what does God do when we call out to him? Jesus cried out to the waves, be still. There was a flat calm. And that is what he will do for us. When we're living through a nightmare time, it's fear and panic that threaten to overwhelm us. That we are not in control. Of course, we never were. But we don't like that sense of not being in control. We don't like that sense that the waves are too high, that we are powerless. If we hand ourselves into Jesus' hands, he will call, be still. I don't know if you know the wonderful Methodist covenant prayer that they pray at the beginning of the year. And in it, they have that wonderful phrase, for our lives are no longer our own, but his. It's a commitment for the beginning of the year, but doesn't us no harm to remind ourselves of that more often. We are no longer our own, but his. It's not up to us to be in control. It's up to God. If he's in control, then I need not be afraid. I can be at peace. But so often we hold on to our own inadequate, collapsing sense of control rather than reaching out to God. We see Jesus in the corner of the boat, but we're determined to sort it out for ourselves. And so we struggle with the sail. We struggle with events until finally we realize that we haven't got control at all. And we hand it into God's hands, and he will take us through. And many times I have found myself in a place where I felt powerless and overwhelmed, and God has taken over. The second year of ordination training is the one that comes to me most. I fell very ill. I struggled. I was exhausted. I was teaching full time. I had four children. And I was doing a ordination course like a number of people do at St. Mellitus now. There was no way it could work. I couldn't control it. There was nothing I could do to sort it out. All I could do was hand it to God. And that's an amazing feeling, letting God give me the strength for what I needed to do. And I've known that peace in illness, in job insecurity and bereavement. Because believing ourselves to be in control leaves us tossed around in the storms that life will bring us. Giving ourselves into God's hand gives us peace. The storms of life will still happen. I think we all know that now. We've got rid of our false securities. But our stronger security is that God will be with us in that storm. And the storm will never overwhelm us if we put our faith in him. He will be with us, will hold us up, give us the strength where we need it, the courage when everything seems against us. Jesus said, be still. May you know that stillness and peace of Jesus, whatever life may bring. Now, I found a prayer that Bishop Gooley posted, and she was looking for it. So it's a prayer for Lent, so I'm a little bit early, but it seems so appropriate. I wanted to share it with you today. So let's pray. God of our pilgrimage, whose Son commanded the wind and waves to be still, and in whom we find the peace that passes understanding, grant that this Lent we may learn again to hear your still, small voice and be refreshed and sustained on our journey until our restless hearts find their rest in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.